We have Easter Sunday. Main service is at 11:30. We're only having the one service that week. So normally, or that Sunday, normally we have two Sunday morning services, the 9:30 and the 11:30. We're having one service at 11:30 only on Easter or Resurrection Sunday. So join us for that if you can. So, all right, well, glory to God. Are we ready to get into tonight's teaching? I was telling Linda before the service that Pastor asked me this morning if I knew what I was going to minister on. I said, yeah, I think so. I minister a couple of times a month in T-Town. And I kind of wondered if I wasn't going to go the route that I was teaching on yesterday in T-Town. I thought maybe we were going to go that way because I hadn't intended to go that way with them. And then it just kind of unfolded and I thought, oh, well, okay. And so I did. And then when I was preparing for tonight, I thought just kind of, well, I think I may go down that road. And that's kind of where I was until I went to sit down and really get into writing it. And then it's no, huh, we're doing something else entirely. And so we're going to get into faith tonight. And this is one of those things that I know, what kind of church are we? We're a Word of Faith church. And we're also a Rhema church, and you'll hear Rhema tonight quite a bit. Rhema means the spoken word of God or the spoken utterance of God. And so we're a Rhema church in that we are affiliated with Rhema Bible Training College and also Rhema Bible Church. Pastor Earl, of course, is a graduate from the Rhema Bible Training Center at the time he went. It's now college. But anyway, so there are connections are in Rhema, the spoken word of God. And so Word of Faith is what they teach there at that college. They teach lots of things, but I mean, there's an emphasis on teaching faith. And so some of you were in our Faith for Healing class, so some of this might be a little redundant and kind of recent for you, but don't tune me out. There's something every single time that's new and different. If we didn't get new revelation on the Word of God every time we heard it, it would be boring. First of all, we'd become unteachable, and God can't use us when we're unteachable. And so we need to be always in a position to receive, even if it's something we've heard before. And so probably most of you in the Word of Faith has heard this message in some capacity or another. This is going to be very basic faith teaching tonight. I was telling Linda that it seemed, when I was writing this, I thought, boy, this seems so simple and so basic, but it's what we were supposed to do. So here we are. We're doing it. We're going to do it. So we are a Word of Faith church, and that just means that we believe in the whole Bible. We are a full gospel church. We believe in the whole Bible, including the Word of Faith message, but it's a balanced message. We are not a church that is extreme in a ditch regarding faith, and so there's people who would think of a Word of Faith church as one of the name it and claim it group. That's the phrase that's often tossed around about Word of Faith churches, and this church is not one of those. It is a name it and claim it, but not solely just on our own. I'll share a story about Pastor Earl because I like to do it, and you guys have heard it before, but it's always still fun. And so when he first got a hold of the Word of Faith message, I'll tell you what that means in a minute. It's not like Heil Hitler over here. That's a different thing altogether. This is, but when he first got a hold of what the Word of Faith message was, which is, you know, you believe with your heart that God can provide something, you get into faith for it, and you hook up with God for it, and you believe that you can have what you say. So if he says he wants something, then he believes he can have it, then he can have it. And so he thought, well, I want a falcon. Now, I was going to say, he's 15 years old or so at the time. You'd have thought when he wanted a falcon, it would have been a car. It wasn't. He had a car, probably, at that time. Well, at 16 you did. You don't know if you heard this message necessarily at 15. But whatever it was he heard it, he got a hold of the faith message and decided it would be so cool if I could have a falcon, a bird of prey. And so when you see him do this, he's talking, glove me. He wants a glove and have his arm out and this bird come and land on his arm. God did not tell him that he was giving him a falcon. That's the name it and or the claim it and get it or whatever it is, name it and claim it group that would feel like you can just have whatever you say. the Flavitt and Gravit? Oh, Blavitt and Gravit. So that's not what this is a very balanced message. This is what I started to talk about. We need to be hooking up with God for what we believe for. So now, first of all, getting into faith, what does it mean to get into faith for something? So we talk about, you know, people are, well, are you in faith for it? You know, when someone tells us, oh, I want a new car. Well, are you in faith for it, or is it just you wanting a new car? Well, you know, God provides for me, so I believe that I can have a new car. Yes, but are you in faith for it? See, there's a difference between wanting and being in faith for something. And so we need to hook our faith up with God. There's nothing in the scripture that tells us we cannot have a new car when we need a new car. The word tells us that God will provide for us what we need. And sometimes we need a new car. We need a new car, just FYI. You will hear us coming a long way away if you hear. And it's not a muffler issue. It's a transmission issue. And it's loud. And so it's still working. It's not slipping. It's doing its thing and what it's supposed to do. But it sounds, I keep joking around how our car screams at us every time we get in it. You know, it's like, fix me, really loud is what I hear. But at any rate, so we need a new car and we have our faith on it. So what that means is that we have gone before God. We have found scripture in the Word of God that stipulates and says that we have what we need, and we have got scripture and we took that before the Lord and we said, you know, Lord, this is one of the things that your Word says is that we can have the things that we need that you're, you know, as he taught, Pastor Earl talked about during the offering, we have a covenant with God, and in that covenant, we have the things that we need. And we can go into all that. But then we listened to hear from him. And so then he delivered unto us a spoken word, a rhema word. And we'll talk about that as we go forward. But then now we have a rhema word. That means we're in faith. We have heard from God. We have found it in the written word that says it's okay to have these things. And therefore, we can now hook up with him and get into agreement with whatever he has said to us for. And we put our faith on it. And we stand in that position of faith unmoved until we receive it. And so that's what it means to be in faith. It's believing God for something, hooking your faith up with him, and standing in that position until you receive it. And so we're going to talk about how and what that looks like. How do you know what you can get in faith on? And again, some of these things are so basic, and it seems silly to go through some of these things. But how we know whether we can have something is we find it in here. So in other words, you can't get in faith for something unless you have found it in the written word. It needs to be in the written. And I'm not saying it says in here, thou, you know, Pastor Earl and Jennifer will have a new car in 2024. It doesn't say that in here. But there are scriptures that tell us about, again, having what we need. And so one of the things that we need is a vehicle. It's hard to live in this world, in this time, without a vehicle. And so to do what we need to do, we need to have a car that's going to get us where we need to go. And I'm not talking about we got to have a Lamborghini to do that. I'm just saying that we need to have a car that is dependable, makes sense for us to have, that can get us to where we need to go. So we can put what we do is we get into this word. So when we read the written word and we see all that we have in our covenant with him, then we know we can have that. That gives us a legal position then to go before the Lord and say, here's what I need, and I have found it in here, so I know that it is provided for me through you, and here's how I, you know, so now I'm going to ask for it. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verses 1 through 14, there's all kinds of scriptures in there that tell you what belongs to you in your covenant, right? There's other scriptures you might find in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. It talks about there, about being healed. It talks about being, you know, redeemed for, or that he has paid the price for your peace. It talks about all the things in there, forgiveness of sins, all those things that belong to you. You can get into Philippians chapter 4:19. Pastor Earl read that actually during the time just a minute ago, that tells you that Paul is talking, and he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise that you can stand on, that God is providing for all of your needs. That's food, that's shelter, that's cars, that is finances. It's all the things are all encompassed in that, because those are things that you need. You are his children. Just as you have children, you supply everything for your children and what he needs, right? We supplied what our daughters need as when they were growing up. We all have children and we do that. That is the role of a parent. And God is our father. And so we are his children. So he supplies for all of our needs. That's our covenant with him because of what Christ did for us. And so, as a result, in this scripture right here, she's got up on the screen, Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, we don't get into a place where we think we need a falcon. You know, that is not a need per se. It doesn't mean that God doesn't give us the wants and the desires of our hearts. There's scripture that says that too. And so, but we're talking specifically about getting into faith for something that God has told you in his word that you can have. Then you've gone before him and you've presented your case to him. And he says to you exactly what it is that he has for you. You've heard a rhema word. So step one of getting into faith for things is getting into the word. That's step one. So if you're taking notes and you want to just do number one, step one is you need to find it in here. If you are suffering from something, sickness, or you have if you have a household situation in your house where there's no peace in your household, you can believe God for your peace. You can, if you're dealing with a situation with a financial need, you can get into the scriptures. You can find scripture that tells you exactly. This is just, you can look it up in the back and find out, you know, and find scriptures that specifically talk about finances. You can specifically find scriptures that talks about health and healing, all those things. You don't have to actually be led by God. You can Google it. You can literally go on to Google and say scriptures on healing, and it will give you a list. Scriptures on finances or provision from God, on protection from God, on peace from God. Whatever your topic is, you can Google it, you can find it, it'll tell you right where to go. Now you have your scripture. Now you have a legal standing before God. Not that you necessarily, it sounds so court dramatic, but you have a position that you can go confidently before God and say, your word says that as a child of God, this belongs to me. You have provided this to me, it belongs to me, and I'm going to request it now. I'm calling in my, you know, covenant right, is what you're doing. You're going boldly before him. So that's step one. Find it in here. You have to spend time in here to know what belongs to you. Oftentimes, people don't spend any time in here. They live through their life in suffering and difficulty. They may be born again, but they have no idea what God has provided for them because they don't spend any time right here in these pages. And these pages tell it all. Even in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, all of those things, they're there. Okay, now that you know what he says is yours, you begin to pray for it. Step two, you need to ask him for it, right? The word says in James chapter 4 and verse 2, you can put this up if you want to, James chapter 4 and verse 2, and I'm just going to write towards the end of it, it says, we have not we've asked not. Put it up in the New Living Translation for me if you would, just something that has less ye's and such in it, and see what it says there in the New Living. Okay, we're not changing it tonight. Okay, so the word says, and it basically says at the end of the scripture that you have not because you've asked not. You have to ask God for it. And I'm not saying that he doesn't provide these things to us. There is mercy. There is, you know, he has provided these things, and we will have a certain amount of things, but we also need to go before him and say, Lord, I'm dealing with a situation at home that's just wrecking my peace. I have no peace in my household. I want peace in my household. I'm asking you to give me the wisdom to know what to do, to say, to, you know, and go to him and take what you have. You say, Father God, if you're looking for finances, you know, your written word says that you have provided everything I need for life and godliness. That's scripture. I have a need for finances. Your word says that you supply all my needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. There's another scripture. You've got multiple scriptures that say what it is that belongs to you. The world system, now here, let me go. Your word says that it is your plan that I will be the head and not the tail. That's in Deuteronomy. We're talking about Deuteronomy. And that I will lend to many nations, or lend to many and not borrow. That's also in Deuteronomy. The world system tells me to borrow, but your system says that not only will I not borrow, but I will also be the lender. Well, Lord, I need finances to do that. That's where I need. I need finances to be able to do that. I need to have money to come so that I can buy what it is that I need. I ask you now to bring finances to me, to show me how to receive finances, to lead me to the finances that your word tells me that I can have, and then say amen. You can say something like that. You have pulled the scripture. You have pled your case. You've said, I am your child. As your child, I have an inheritance. I have a covenant with you. Everything that you say in here I need, I can just put that out before him. You've asked. You've asked, right? So what's your next step? What do you do next? Well, now you need a rhema word. That rhema word that we talked about. What did I say rhema is? It's the spoken utterance of God. You cannot get into faith without this word, and you cannot get into faith without the spoken word. It requires both. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and I know if you can put, is it only letting you put it up in the one? Romans 10, 17. In the New King James, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we've talked about this before. I really like to find out what words mean. This word, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, that word of God. What that translates to is rhema. Now, this, the written word of God, is called logos, or logos. L-O-G-O-S, I think is how it's spelled. Earl's nodding his head, so that's it. I like it when I'm right the first time around. Okay, so this is the written word of God. The spoken word of God is rhema, right? We talked about that early on. So when it says here, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, that word actually means rhema word. Faith comes by hearing the rhema, or the spoken word of God. That's when faith comes into play. You have scripture, and you can stand in scripture all day long, but if you haven't heard from God, you can't get into faith. You have to hear a word from him directly regarding your situation. That's why you went to him and you prayed and you laid out your situation and you gave all the scriptures and you said, here is what I'm pleading, I'm asking for. You don't have to beg God, but it is just basically like pleading your case. You have spoken it out, you've said it out loud, you've asked him for it, and now his word tells us that he has to give us his word. And so, faith comes by hearing, hearing the spoken word of God. So, that word means spoken utterance. Does that mean you're going to hear this loud, booming voice come out of heaven? Probably not. Almost never, in fact. There are times you hear an audible voice. Sometimes, and I say audible, it doesn't mean other people in a room can hear it, but it sounds loud enough that you heard it with your ears versus... And it's usually kind of on the inside. You know how you hear your thoughts. You can hear yourself think, right? You walk through things. You talk through things in your head. Those, it's very similar to the word of God. The difference is you know it's not your thoughts. It's God who's speaking to you. And so when that happens, that is your word. Now, sometimes he might tell you things that are, he might actually just give you another scripture. He may cause a scripture to rise up, or you may be reading your word, and as you're just reading, all of a sudden a scripture will come up and it'll just almost like scream at you from off the page. That can be a rhema word. That's God saying, pay attention to this. This is for you right now. And that's where you hook your faith up. Now you have a spoken word. It could be, I've talked about different times when I was believing God for, I was actually looking at a different position with the bank when I worked for the bank, and I had, on my own, without talking to God, I had applied for this position. I didn't want this position. I don't know why I bothered to apply for it. I had just gotten restless in my current position, and I was wanting something else, and so this came up. It was closer to my house. It was more money. I thought, well, that answers that. That makes perfect logical sense to me. I'm going to apply for it, and so I applied. And I was well qualified for it. I'd been, you know, with the bank a number of years. I had lots of qualifications that met this position's role, but I didn't hear anything from, it was as if I hadn't applied at all. I don't even think I heard from like HR saying they received my application. And so, you know, time went on and I didn't hear anything, nothing. And they should have at least said something, I felt like, you know. And so I went into, I had a conversation with my boss about it. I said, you know, on that job, I never heard anything about that. She said, yeah, it really aggravates me that they don't, you know, follow up and do something. And she said, well, I can check into it for you. I said, all right, that's fine. And so I kind of walked out. Well, then that same day as I went to lunch, I was in my car and I was praying just for a few minutes and I was so tired. Like I was just tired. I needed a short little 10-minute cat nap. And so I leaned my seat back. I'd gotten done praying and I wasn't specifically talking to God about that job. But as I leaned my seat back and I started to drift off to sleep, I heard him say, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And he gave me that scripture. It just rose up out of the complete silence in my car. It was just inside of me, but I knew that I heard God say that to me. And so then as then he had my attention, and then he went on to say to me, then, I have a different job for you. This is not it. And so that was enough. You know, I didn't have to have anything else. Now I knew there was something better. I think what he said was, I've got something better for you. And so just wait, basically. Wait upon me. That's what it says, that scripture says. And so I was almost a little excited, you know, because now I knew that I wasn't going to have to take that stupid job I didn't want, but I was going to have something better, that God had something better for me. And so that day after I got back from my lunch, my nap, in other words, I walked into the office to my boss, and I said, you know what we talked about? I said, don't even bother following up on that. And she said, I hadn't said anything. I was going to send an email. And I said, no, don't worry about it. Let's just let it lie. If they call me, I'll deal with it. But otherwise, I think I'm just going to stay put for now. And she was really happy that I wasn't going anywhere. What she didn't know was just a few short months later, I would be. But anyway, nonetheless, that was the end of that. And then later, like I said, a few short months later, a new position came up. And the Lord said, this is what I've set aside for you. And there's a whole story about how that unfolded that I won't go into right now. But I'm telling you that even when you are not in that immediate moment, God can still share something with you, even if you haven't sought him, like I didn't seek him that time. But at this, he can still talk to you. And it will sometimes be in those moments when you're not expecting it. So always have your ear tuned to God and listen for those utterances, because those are the things that create faith in you. That way, when that new job came along and he told me that was the one he had for me, then I was unmoved, unshaken in the process of when I was actually going to receive that job, because he told me and I knew it and I got into faith for it. So hear me when I say this, you'll not receive anything by faith unless you have a spoken word on it. Confessing scriptures on finances will not get you into faith for finances. Listening to every message available from the Hagans to the Copelands to the Keith Moore, whoever, I don't even know who all. There's lots of people who teach on finances. And we can get to where we're just listening to those and listening to those and listening to those. But if you haven't heard from God, listening to those is not going to do you any good. It might help edify you. It might help, you know, help you to realize it belongs to you, but you still need to hear from God regarding your finances or your situation, whatever it is that you're hearing or you're speaking to him about. It tells us, let's go back into Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and let's look at it in the Passion Translation. If you can put it up. It's not doing it at all. Okay, I didn't know if you'd gotten it fixed because I saw a different translation up there a minute ago. All right, I'm going to pull it up myself in the Passion Translation because it's so good in that, and I want you to hear it. I'm in a different thing here. Give me a second. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I want to read it exactly let me highlight it and hit this. Faith, then, is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. So this is that same verse that says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Only this one actually says it in such a way that you recognize that he's talking about the utterance, the spoken word of God. It says faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. So it's the utterance of God that we have our faith. That's where it's birthed of. But it also says that faith is birthed in a heart that responds. So that's our next point. Now that you've gotten your spoken word, you have to respond to it. So what is your next step? Praise God. You need to be praising God. You have heard from him. This is the this is your victory praise, because he, just like I said, the day he told me that day in the car, I got real excited because now I knew he had something better for me than what I was trying to push myself into. Glory to God, I didn't do that. But he told me I have something better. I immediately praise God for that. Glory to God. He's got something better for me, much better than I was worrying about and trying to navigate through myself. And I can just rest in that place. And so you get into a place of praise. Now, I'm skipping some stuff because we don't have a lot of time. I'm kind of jumping down here. So, praise. Some time back, and I know that some of you have heard this because I shared it, I think, when I was doing the offering one day, how I was struggling with something, and God said to me, praise comes before the plunder. And so what he was referencing when he said that was in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat is going to have to face these armies, right? And so he asked God, what do I do? And God says, well, go and praise me as you go. Go towards this battlefield. He told him right where to go. And he said, praise me as you go. And so they did. And so as he sends out his best worshipers. He's like, I don't know if there were auditions. I don't know what was held. No, I'm sure that he knew people, that there's people who are just gifted in certain ways, or are just, they have a heart for certain things. And these people were people who had a heart of worship. They just worshiped God so genuinely, sincerely, and just praised him that way. And so he put them at the front, right? And so they're marching. You know the story. They're marching into battle. And as they're going, God has taken care of the armies himself. He has got them fighting each other and killing each other before King Jehoshaphat and his army is even facing them. They originally were all united against King Jehoshaphat, but God has taken care of it in such a way that they're killing each other first. And so by the time that King Jehoshaphat gets there, everybody is dead. There is no one left. And all that's left are the treasures that they brought with them. All that's left is the gold and the silver and the rubies and the gemstones and the, I don't even know what were treasures back then, but whatever they were, that was what was left. And it took King Jehoshaphat and his army 3 days to haul all of, and they call it the plunder, all that plunder out of there and claim that for himself. It took 3 days. That's a lot of plunder. I mean, a lot. And he didn't have to do a single thing other than just praise God as he walked towards it. When we have victory that's ahead of us, we need to be praising God every step of the way. So the next step is praising God. Praise comes before the plunder. That's a rhema word. That was a rhema word to King Jehoshaphat. It was a rhema word to me. And so the only difference was is King Jehoshaphat didn't realize that that was what was going to be at the end of his praise. We can find, we found scriptures to support what our need is. We have gone to God. We have asked because we have not because we asked not. So we've asked. He has given us his rhema word, and now we've praised him. So what's next? Well, the response part is not over yet. The response part needs to go a step further. So I'm combining the fifth thing, which is speak it out and do what God says. Those two things are the next step. Sometimes all you need to do is speak it out. Sometimes that's the only thing that you actually need to do to walk out the steps that God has laid before you, or the victory that God has for you. Sometimes there's something that has to be done. Often there's something that has to be done. King Jehoshaphat had to get the worshipers together. They had to go forth and go to the specific place where God told them to go. If he had just stayed right back where he was, he would never have walked in that victory, right? So there were steps that needed to be taken. All right, so think of it this way, and we were talking about a new job a minute ago, but maybe you've been wanting a dream job, and you see an ad that comes out, or maybe someone tells you about this job, and it's perfect for you. It's exactly what you were hoping for. It's exactly what you've been thinking about getting, and so you apply for it, right? And you put all your qualifications on your application, and or on your resume, and you send that in, right? And so then you basically, that's the same thing as appealing before God, where we talked about you plead your case, right? Every qualification that says you have it is right here, and so that's what you do when you're applying for a job. You put all your qualifications on an application or a resume, and you send that in. And then you wait, and then they call you for an interview, right? And so you go in for your interview, and you're super excited because this is fitting all the needs. They love you. And they say, you know what? We're going to give you the job right here, right now. 2 weeks, you start. Here's your start date. Now, you go home. And in the natural, you still work for the other company. You still have the same paychecks coming in between now and the next 2 weeks, right? In this window of time, it doesn't look any different than it did before. But you have the promise of the new job. And that's there because you've heard from them and they've told you that, right? So do you just then live your life and do nothing? No, you tell people that you got to do the first thing. You tell your spouse, I got a new job. I can't wait. It's going to be this. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I'm so excited. And so then you also start preparing. You put in a notice at your other job. You talk to your boss and you tell them that you're going to be going. You share that with your neighbors. You're talking about it. You're speaking it out. You're expressing this. But you're also then going to start doing things. Let's say your job is moving you to someplace else. You're not going to go out there and plant a new garden in your backyard if you're going to be moving, right? Your preparation and the things that you're doing until you receive that need to line up with what God has said you're going to have. If you've got a new job that's starting 2 or 3 towns over and you're going to have to move to that place, you're not going to start doing things in this house or at this place in your life that looks like you're staying here, right? Because you know you're going. And so sometimes we can get into this place, and I've shared this about my mom before, I think I've talked about this, that when she found out she had cancer and she believed God was healing her of cancer, but then she would say that, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And then she would say, at my funeral, I want you to do this. And so it's like, now listen, you can't be saying one thing and then saying something else. Or sometimes our actions are different, right? You know, we're saying one thing, but then our actions don't line up with what we're saying. That's not faith. That's not in a position of believing God for what he's spoken. We have got to be in a position where our actions and our words line up with what God has just said to us. Remember, we have the victory. And if we're not walking in those steps and doing those things, then we're never going to achieve the victory. We're going to stall out. We're going to give up. We're going to be easily moved or easily swayed by our circumstances. So we have to get into a place where we are in faith. If you've heard from God, you're going to be in faith. Or if not, then we need to have a conversation about what your belief is. If God has said, yes, you can have it, and you prayed and took it before him, and you asked for all that, and then he says you can have it, and then all your words and your actions are contradictory to that, there's a problem we need to have a conversation about, because something's not lining up. So then you need to analyze yourself. Your actions and your words have got to line up to what God has spoken to you. Pastor Earl mentioned that when he was taking up the offering too, about how we can actually, our words will cause death to come to the victory that God has for us. If we've been believing him for something, whether it be our health or our finances or whatever it is, and if we let the circumstances around us dictate what's coming out of our mouths, we're never going to have what God has for us. We're never going to walk in the victory of what he has spoken to us. So, and we've all done, I laugh about my mom and it sounds so silly that she would do that, but we've all done things like that. We've all been in that position where we have, probably because we haven't heard from God, we've just been reading this. And not that that's bad, I don't mean to indicate that this is it, but we don't have all the parts. We need all the parts. We need the written word that's our covenant, and we need the spoken word that's the promise from God for our circumstance and our situation. And when we have those two things, then we have a place to stand in faith. And we will stand in faith if we have those two things. Often we have one and not the other, and that's when we get into the place of unbelief. So have both of those things. Keep your words right. Say the right things, and let your actions line up with that. Now, there are times when you need to speak and times when you need to do, and often both of those are required to receive it. There's chances are you're going to have to do more than just speak, and you're going to have to do more than just do. There's going to be both. And you might hear from God that he's going to take care of your financial need, and then one morning you wake up and a scripture pops into your head that says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's the first thing you hear that morning. And you think, oh, well, I'm just thinking that because Pastor Jennifer says that every single Sunday on Sunday morning. It's on our offering envelopes, and I know that scripture, and that's why it's coming up. But you weren't even thinking about giving at the time. It wasn't something you were in the... It was literally you woke up, and that was the first thing that came out. That's God talking to you. That's an action. That's a step that needs to be done. So the next step is do the steps, okay? Because chances are there's something that you have to do that's going to lead you to your victory or your promise being fulfilled, the fulfillment of that step. So that step requires action that you have to walk out. You clearly heard it. You clearly know it was from him. And if you don't do it, you're not going to receive. You have to take all the steps, right? Just like King Jehoshaphat, he was told to go to that place in that spot. And if he hadn't have gone there, he never would have had the victory. And that's a rhema word that God is giving you to walk out. Glory. The thing is, too, and I'll say this, if I share a testimony about how God spoke to me to do something, and let's say, for instance, that someone else is in that same predicament. So, and I've shared this example before, I'll share it again. I was one time believing for God to heal me in a certain way, and I was listening to someone else give their testimony of how they got healed of the exact same thing. And God had showed them certain scriptures for them to get into faith in their testimony. They're sharing this. And so I'm like, oh, I need that same exact healing. I'm going to get in the same place. I'm going to say the same things that they said. I'm going to do all the same things that they did. And I'm going to stand on those scriptures, and that's how I'm going to get my healing. I have not heard that from God for me. I just am hearing that that was what worked for her. So we have got, and then what happened was, is for 2+ years, maybe longer, I have been saying the same things that she has said and done all the same things, and I'm not getting anywhere. There is nothing that is happening to change my circumstance, even though I'm saying and doing all the same things that she did. Well, then in frustration, I cried out to God and said, why isn't this working? Your word says that I can have this, and da-da-da-da-da, and I said all the things. I did step one then, right? And then I said, tell me what I'm supposed to do. That's step two. The next morning, I get up, and I hear him say to me a different scripture, and then I realize that that's the scripture that was intended for me, and if I had just sought him all that time ago and asked him all that time ago, I could have done it all that time ago. And instead, I didn't do it until that morning after I had almost gotten into a place of aggravation at myself and was like demanding. And when I got, then of course he was so good and so gracious to give me the answer. And then that same day began the process of that being taken care of. And within like a week, what I was dealing with was completely gone. And what is so interesting about that is that the situation that I was dealing with had a root cause. And when God gave me the scripture to stand on, he said, cause it to die from the root out. Just like Jesus cursed the fig tree, tell it to die from the root. I did. I spoke that. And what's so interesting is that at the time I had this thing that I was dealing with had a kind of a root to it, and it was taken care of, and that was great and all and well and good. And it wasn't until years later when I was sharing the testimony that when I was saying, God told me to say these words, that he revealed to me that what was causing that symptom in the first place had a root cause that was like a viral thing. And that when I spoke those words, he killed the virus that was creating the symptom. And so I will never have to deal with that ever again, because God took care of the root, because I heard from him and I listened to what he said, and that cured it forever. And so it was even more revelation sometimes of how important it is to say exactly what God tells us to say, to do exactly the step that he tells us to take, so that it fixes it in such a way that it has, it's problem free forever, you know, and it's never going to be something that recurs. It's never going to be something that comes back up, because that's how God takes care of things from the root out. And so, glory to God. That was just a little side extra that wasn't in my notes, and we're moving on because that we're past time. I'm going to say this too. The last step is to stand. We have to get into a position where we're unwavered, unmoving. You cannot shake us from our position. We have heard from God, and there's nothing that's going to talk us out of it, even if it takes years. And I'll quickly share this, and then we're going to close. I've got other scriptures that we're not going to go through. But one of the things, and we talked about Keith Moore, and Keith Moore has a story of standing that I love. Keith Moore, I don't know if you know who he is or not, but he's a minister, and he's out of Branson and Sarasota, and I just enjoy his ministry a lot. And he is a Word of Faith guy too. And so he was sharing, I'm just going to close this. He was sharing, and he said that they moved, and when they moved, he had a big black baby grand piano. Some of you may have heard the story. And one of the things that he wanted was a white grand piano, not just the baby grand, not the black one. He wanted a white grand piano. And he had the means to go and purchase one. You know, he could have. And as he was going to, I mean, he started to kind of do a little research, and God said, why don't you believe me for this? Let me bring this to you. And, you know, you can use that money elsewhere that way. And so he did. Okay, that's fine. He heard from God. He had a rhema word for it. He got rid of the black one. He took some action steps into what his faith was saying. He got rid of the black one. He kept the space, though, open for this piano. And I don't know if you've ever seen how big a grand piano is. It's huge. And so the space for this piano in his home was just this big, empty, bare spot. I think they put a rug down, but it's just a big rug in the middle of a room with nothing on it. And so, you know, people would come to their house and they would say, oh, what are you going to put here? And he said, I've got a piano coming, a white grand piano coming for that space. He didn't speak down about it. He didn't say, well, one of these days, maybe it'll show up. He didn't do that. He just said, I've got this white grand piano coming. And so, time goes by, no piano. Never shows up. He never gets a phone call. He doesn't know how God's going to deliver this. He just knows that he told him to believe him for it. And so he just continues to stand. He doesn't go around talking about it. He's not slamming God because he hasn't come up with this piano yet. And so time goes on and time goes on. People, I'm sure, who've been to his house many times by this time have wondered, it's been 2 years. Why haven't you got your piano yet? You know, and so they're figuring it must be coming from China on the slow boat. And so anyway, he just continues to stand in his position, unmoved and unwavered. And one Sunday, someone comes up to him and says, Brother Keith, I feel so silly telling you this, but he said, do you need or want a piano? And he said, well, I don't know. What kind of piano is it? Well, it's not something that's just for everyone. He said, it's a white grand piano. He said, I've had this piano, and I've been wanting to get rid of it for a couple of years, and the Lord kept telling me to give it to you. And he said, and I just kept thinking, you can get any piano you want. You probably don't want some ginormous white grand piano. And, of course, Brother Keith, he's just so gentle. He said, well, as a matter of fact, I have the perfect spot for that white grand piano. And he didn't go on saying, where have you been? Why didn't you listen to God? I'm telling you that God has to use people to get things to us a lot of times. And that means that it may not show up when we think we ought to have it. And so sometimes it takes a little while. And if we allow the circumstances around us to get us out of our place of faith and move us from our position, we're never going to have what God has set aside for us. And so even in weird things like white grand pianos will come to you if that's what God has told you. And if God had told Earl he could have a falcon, he would have it. Thank God he didn't. I am not a bird fan. Don't do birds. We don't do pets. But I can tell you that if we were to have a pet, a bird would not be it. Glory. Let's close. Did you have anything you wanted to add first? Okay. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, for your provision, for all of your promises. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided everything that we need, and we just need to seek you on it. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a covenant that we can stand in a position of boldness that we can come before you confidently asking for what it is that you have provided and that you are so generous to give us exactly that. And we stand in those positions of faith, and we seek you in every single situation, Lord, so that we have your best. It is always your best that we want, and we thank you for it. We now, Lord, as we go forth this week, we thank you that you get us to our destination safely, that you give your angels charge over us, protecting us in all of our ways as we leave here tonight and every day going forward. We thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Glory. Amen.